Shut up! The Foot is Over Radio!
Every massive moment.
When you're hot, you're hot!
Lives right here.
He's big time!
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's Triple M Rock City.
For 280 games, this country boy dominated the big stage.
The long-striding Smith from 48.
Kicking 205 goals for both Hawthorn and Geelong.
No way!
And along the way, picking up four premierships.
Number seven, Isaac Smith.
A Norm Smith medal.
The winner of the 2022 Norm Smith medal, Isaac Smith.
And one All-Star game.
No dramas at all, Isaac Smith.
But nothing matches the honour bestowed upon him today.
Handball's off to Smith in his last game.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
What a dream start for Isaac.
To the Isaac Smith Cup.
They run from everywhere to get around him.
Easter Monday football continues from the Triple MCG. It's the Hawks and the Cats, the official Isaac Smith Cup. Today and a brilliant round three of football. It's been lots to discuss. Tom Hawkins' 350th game. What a champion he has been at the Geelong Football Club, a four-time All-Australian, after the age of 30. Regardless of the ladder, you know that this game always delivers and the Hawks will be absolutely frothing at the mouth to try and compete today against a very talented Geelong side. Kate McCarthy is with us on Easter Monday. Kate, AFLW royalty, good to be alongside you.
Yeah, it's good to be here. The Isaac Smith Cup, it's obviously all about this man sitting to my right, and it's just an honour to experience this, the first one of its kind, and I can't wait for the gold he's going to bring out today.
Well, he has demanded, Kate, that he can get access to anyone from either side. He's the most popular and loved player from Hawthorn and Geelong. He said, give me the microphone. And as he's going to go down and catch up with a couple of his old teammates, a big day for you, Isaac.
Yeah, big day. Exciting day. I walked through just a bit earlier and saw a few fans and they all asked who I was going to go for today. And the beauty is it doesn't matter. I win either way. So... hoping Hawk kicks a big bag in his 350. That's exciting. He's an absolute gentleman of the game and, pumped for him. I'm really looking forward to watching today, to be honest.
Damien Barrett is with us on Easter Monday. Damo, welcome to you. Lots to talk about. The AFL illicit drugs policies in the news. Talk about a Brisbane Lions end of season trip that may or may not feature one of our own in the box that we have to discuss at some stage. Great to see Adam Uzo win his first game. Looking forward to plenty to discuss here this afternoon.
It was him, wasn't it? And Crow's not going well. Doc is equally going well. Good afternoon to everyone here. I want to start with the trips and the photos of the trip we've seen in the papers in recent times. Our man, Isaac Smith. Now, we'll treat this story seriously in about 15 or so minutes' time, Dust, the Brisbane Lions US trip. But let's treat it Triple M style for a little bit at least. we see photos now being published about this scandalous trip. And our man, Izzy, despite being retired, finds himself in all these photos with cowboy hats on in the background of these shots involving Brisbane Lions players.
And I was wondering, Damo, why he came back with a face tattoo to start. There's a hangover-style experience. So, Isaac, what have you been up to?
You're central to this scandal.
Mm. Well, to be honest, I woke up the other day and I had about as much knowledge as everyone else, but I was featuring in three of the photos front and centre. But now I went over on a golf trip with a few ex-Hawks teammates, had a great time. There was a few Brizzy boys there, played golf. I'm a big fan of country music, went to Nashville for a couple of nights and went and watched a great mate play for the Tennessee, what do they call them, the Vols. He's a punter over there. So Mitch Lewis and I went and watched Jackson Ross play over there. So we had a great trip. We're flying around on private jets. We had silly cowboy hats. If I had my time again, I wouldn't wear the hat. it was a great trip.
A great trip for the Lions.
Well, that was news to me. And I didn't spend a hell of a lot of time with them other than two nights in Nashville. So, it's interesting this story coming out. I did hear, though, it started on Big Footy. So that's quite interesting.
Well, it's made the mainstream.
Yeah, now. So a little bit bizarre, but to be honest, I had as much knowledge as the next bloke and not sure what's going on with it. And it's turned into a bit of a story, and I'm guessing Brisbane are hoping they're going to start winning games soon.
There's no doubt it's been talked about for that reason, 0-3. If they were 3-0, I don't think we'd be dealing with it too much. But we will talk about it seriously, Darce. Another focus on our man. Remember when Chris Judd first started on Triple M all those years ago? And that's how we reminded him. He wasn't great at radio at times, was he?
He was worse on TV. Yeah. as soon as the camera went on, Juddy went to water completely. And then he came in with a similar level of confidence as Isaac Smith has. And he had a similar sort of CV to back up that level of confidence. But he decided that he could go down and just do whatever he liked, Damo.
Yeah.
It didn't always end well.
Well, it didn't, because he sometimes didn't know which even teams were playing, let alone who was playing in those teams on that night he was covering. And we went down one day early in his time at Triple M to interview Matty Scarlett, and it ended up like this.
The pig Greenwood generally goes to Joel and tries to get under his skin. Would you expect him to go to him tonight?
I don't think he's playing.
Well, that'll make it. That'll make it tricky for that to happen there, Scarlett.
He just runs onto the ground and goes after him.
What else was I going to ask? That was the main thing. That was the main thing I wanted to get out of the way. I've drawn a bit of a blank. What have you like set up there?
So stay tuned. Isaac Smith is going down, Chris Judd style, and I think he's got Chankwath Jath in mind, yeah, and maybe Mark Slitzarves. So look forward to that. Izzy, you got a confident look about you as always.
Oh, actually, a little bit nerve wracking when you. To be honest, I don't think much before I speak, so I'm actually going to have to plan a few questions, and usually things just come to the tip of my tongue. But, there's one guy from Geelong that I'm really looking forward to interviewing. Have we mentioned his name yet?
Who's that?
Oh, Mark Blitzarves.
No, I did just say you're going to go down and interview Mark Blitzarves. Yeah, so that'll be good.
Yeah.
I don't think,
sorry, mate.
As you said, you don't think before you speak, Isaac. It's become your trademark so far.
And he also thinks when he should be listening.
keep it up. You know a lot about this day. It's a special day, Easter Monday. Hawthorn and Geelong is the traditional game, and we are having a bit of fun with the Isaac Smith Cup. But always delivers this game, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think there might have been a couple of blowouts in the history of the game, but I came into Hawthorn at a really awesome time in the Hawthorn period, but Geelong were a great, strong team at that stage as well. And Jeff Kennett had obviously come out and said the Kennett curse and said no one would ever get beaten. Hawthorn would never get beaten again by Geelong and da-da-da-da-da. Obviously, everyone knew that wasn't true. But for 13 games, I think it was, Hawthorn couldn't beat Geelong. And it wasn't until the 2013 prelim final we finally got over the line. But I'm pretty sure for about 6 or 7 years there, every Easter Monday was decided within a goal. It was a special occasion. Both clubs built it up. It was their sort of flagship game, and it still is each year. Granted, Hawthorn aren't on top of the ladder, but I wouldn't be surprised if they take Geelong all the way to the line today, or maybe a little bit of an upset.
And we saw yesterday, obviously, Geelong and Hawthorn both celebrating Easter with their families. And how nice is that as a tradition as well? You've got your captain's run and then being able to sort of do, I guess, the Easter egg hunts and bring the families in to the football club. Is that something that you really enjoyed at part of both clubs?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was brilliant. And probably didn't hit home as much until I got to Geelong and I had kids myself. And they go down there and they absolutely love it. They all mingle together. I'm pretty sure at Geelong we had 14 dads on the list. So I think there was 30-odd kids or something like that. So it was a really special occasion. But I had my first Easter in 15 years, and the alternative's not bad either.
This is Triple M Footy prime time for Mitsubishi Heavy Industries. Mitsubishi Heavy Industries air conditioners. That's not easy to say, that.
Takes
Mitsubishi
another
Heavy Industries air conditioners. Put your trust in the experts in air. Transferring from Hawthorn to Geelong, the great rivalry, that would have come with a bit of feedback, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, there was lots of feedback from lots of people that have public profiles. So that was beautiful. I really enjoyed that period of my life. It was a big decision. And I was at Hawthorn, which was a great club, but they were going through some different pains at that stage. There was going to be a coach change. They were looking to move older guys on. They were looking to rejuvenate their list. There was a lot of different things going on. And my wife and I decided that the best move for us would be to make a bit of a change. And we're both country people and interviewed with Geelong a few times and really felt like home, and went down there and had a great 3 years. So very successful 3 years. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity I had to go to Geelong, and very grateful for my time at Hawthorn. They still are two great clubs, two big clubs. They always fill their stands, which is great. And I've been very fortunate in my footy career.
It's the Dare to Hope game as well in support of pancreatic cancer. We're going to catch up with Mickey Turner, Geelong legend, who's going through his own challenges with pancreatic cancer at the moment. And Cherie Deer, the wife of Paul Deer, who is a legend in this space, the 1991 Norm Smith Medal winner and a really important cause. So we'll catch up with them. Mark Blitzarves is going to join us with Isaac Smith, Chankwath Giath. But as we said off the top, a huge milestone in Tom Hawkins, 350 games, still playing at an incredibly high level. Let's have a listen back to one of the modern great forwards. 350 games today as we celebrate Tom Hawkins.
And Hawkins is marked right on the 50. He's kicked five. This for the game then. Kick is on the way. Siren's gone. They've done it again. They've done it again, the Cats.
Moore went through the tackle and kicked it on the way. Oh, this time. Hawkins again. Seven contested marks. Hawkins is playing for his life. Gets a fist in there. Hawkins off the ground goal. The Cats at the front. Big T-bone.
Wow. 30 from home.
He's taken a flamethrower this last quarter, and he's got another one. He's kicked five in the quarter. He's kicked seven for the night. Campbell on to Hawkins. Hawkins at 45 metres, bending, bouncing, and goaling! Tommy Hawkins, 500 AFL goals.
600 goals for Tommy Hawkins. Oh. Bang, have a look at that. What a player. Here it is.
Plays on, kicks for goal. Tomahawk. Got the 700.
5-4-50. Hawkins clean possession from the ruck again. Has he got the second goal in the same manner? He has. Just manhandling the Swans ruckman. Hawkins gets the first two of the grand final.
Tommy Hawkins from 50. Lines it up.
Told you again.
Celebrate, Tommy. Big smile on the big man's face.
Number 26, Tommy Hawkins.
You can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's,
Triple M rocks footy.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
And lots to discuss, Damo. There is an outside chance of a Hollywood A-lister joining us in the box if...
I'm already here.
Kate's already here. If the big-nosed producer delivers on what he said he may be able to do, Damo.
Swatting around him with him at the basketball yesterday.
Chance for Hollywood royalty here, so stay tuned. Mark Blitzars is going to join Isaac Smith, Chankwath Giath down at ground level. So it's all happening, but a lot happening in the world of AFL football to discuss, Damo. And the AFL illicit drugs policy is in the headlines. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, well, it exploded back into the headlines when Andrew Wilkie, Federal MP, used parliamentary privilege during the week to highlight and refer to some documents he'd attained and obtained from the Melbourne Footy Club issues with Glenn Bartlett as a former president and their doctor, Zeeshan Arain. And obviously then it then took off dust. So Zeeshan Arain is the doctor at the time. I'll just back over what he said in The Age on the weekend. So this is the quote with to Chip LeGrand in The Age newspaper. "I wasn't attacking the illicit drugs policy. I wanted to expose cultural problems, not off-the-books testing. My comments about the testing were just factual. I wasn't revealing a scandal. The illicit drugs policy is probably one of the better things the AFL does. If this becomes a strict name and shame policy and I have contributed to that, I will feel really remorseful for the players." He does go into greater detail, but is he did raise a certain behavioural type amongst these documents it was referred to and then played out publicly that was disturbing to the outside person, not knowledgeable of there being two drugs policies in the AFL system. Just get your take, if I can, before we throw it open to the floor on what you took of it and made of it and what you think needs to be done with it now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was a little bit disappointed when it all got exposed because, as you said, the way it was reported to the way the players and the way the AFL and the way the AFLPA see it was completely different. It felt like it was poles apart, and I felt really uncomfortable with the commentary around it. A few things this week, I think... probably haven't been nailed, but what's the alternative? Like, I'm pretty sure the AFL is one of the only sports globally that have an illicit drugs policy outside a national or a global testing regime. So you've got to credit the AFL and the PA for getting... Like, the players don't have to do this policy. They can say no to it. So I think you have to credit the players and the AFL getting on the front foot and trying to make sure that no player puts themselves out on an oval where they could possibly test positive to something in a national or a global stage. in the sense of you get tested by, is it Australian Sports
Sports Integrity Australia? Yeah.
It used to be ASADA and it used to be WADA. What people would know.
And Sports Integrity Australia now is the older ASADA, which operates under the WADA guidelines. And that is, I think, a pertinent point to all of this, Kate, where there's nothing stopping Sports Integrity Australia testing these same people at this same point in time. So there's no preclusion of that player who's going through the AFL illicit drugs policy to be protected from that testing. Now, he is and has been protected, I feel, under the AFL system, but it is, to your point, their private system. And once we established that, there was never going to be a name and shame component to it. And while there's talk of a review, Kate, and it will be different in 2025 onwards, I still cannot see a punitive model, certainly at the first strike stage, being at play.
Yeah, well, I have a couple of concerns with sort of, like you said, Izzy, some of the things that have come out this week. The first thing is that this policy actually isn't even in place in the AFLW to start
with.
So that's the first thing.
So that has to come in.
It just has to be equal, I think. We, as females, want to be treated the same as the men. So that can be on the positive side of things. It can be on the negative side of things.
Would the AFLW community sign up to the same policy, do you think?
I think if it was almost offered or suggested, you couldn't not, could you?
Well, it's the same CBA effectively now, isn't it, when it kicks in.
So that needs to be something that's
in that regard, the contract is in place for it to be equal, yeah.
Yeah, the other issue I have with it is if you went up to anyone in the street and told them you're about to sit a test at your workplace, you're going to fail it. So say a pilot, all right? A pilot goes out, has a big night the night before. They go to work. They have to have a blood alcohol level of zero. If they knew that they weren't going to be zero, do you think they'd call in sick? Absolutely. They wouldn't risk their career for that. Is that not... I know we're talking things that are legal versus things that are illegal, and I understand that completely, but this is to protect players who are coming forward and saying, look, I did this, I did the wrong thing. Can we be tested? Yes, all right, you're out of the game on the weekend, but I know that there's another element talking to Joey where there's actually education, there's things that happen after that conversation and after the withdrawal of the game that's not just, cool, have the weekend off, let's wash our hands of it. And they support the player through that.
The medical model, which the policy, and it's very dear to the people who use that medical model within the policy. A couple of things, Dars. The alternative is, to Kate's point, Joel Smith has been caught under the performance enhancing code and is facing up to 4 years, whether it's a variation of that penalty, but it's up to 4 years. Under what he's done, or certainly two. The other aspect that I think's really strong and pertinent to me in this whole conversation, for 20 years this policy has now been in place, I don't feel the AFL has ever properly or adequately got it out there, even in the footy community, that there are two drugs policies. And one is the sports performance one, and one is effectively... I think it's more a code of conduct than a drugs policy.
I don't think people want to hear that, Damo, because it has been said. I'm really proud of that policy. I remember it 19 years ago and being part of the group that wanted to sign up to it, because just to listen really clearly, if you test positive on match day or out of match day under the WADA code, that is all you have to sign up to. You face 4 years out of the game. That is a massive deterrent if anyone goes down that path. And we are seeing players that are going to miss 2 and 4 years because of that policy. Separate to that, I think drugs in society is a serious issue that we haven't really come to terms with. Richard Nixon in the 1960s declared a war on drugs. We've now got more people in prison in America than any time in human history. That's the punitive way to go about it. Or you say to people, if you subject yourself, you don't have to hair testing, to other testing, subject to that, you then go into the medical care of the AFL doctors, some of the best medical professionals in the country.
It has been rorted, but not to the numbers that has been reported during the week.
But rorted to the extent of what? Of your own personal health. And I think
I don't understand the whole rorting the system.
When I say rorted, it's not every single detection of drug use is a medical reason. It's not a mental health reason. It is just behavioural reasons.
No, but you can't rort the WADA code. How are you meant to explain that then? Like, you can't just roll out and say, Kate, she stuffed up on the weekend, she's out because she had a big night on the weekend. Like, you have to protect the player.
Agree.
But they're not protected by WADA. They have no jurisdiction over that. And I think that's what gets confused in all this. We're subject to every other code in the world. If you turn up on match day, or if the random drug testers come to your house, as they are allowed to do, and drug test you
at 5 a.m. Multiple times.
And that happens all the time. So the same as every other code in the world. On top of this, the players have said, hey, let's get on the front foot and subject ourselves to hair testing. They should be applauded for it. 19 years later, it probably does need a little bit more clarifications. But to throw that out because of this hysterical commentary would be a travesty.
And on the two codes, there is actually education within the playing group of the two separate codes. But to our point, obviously the general public is not aware of that, which is why this has blown up so sensationally with the way it was released as well.
Through parliamentary privilege. Yep. Other issue too off field, and we touched on it in a lighthearted way through Izzy's lens on the Brisbane Lions US trip late last year. It is a serious footy topic, and Danny Daly, the footy operations boss of the Lions today, has spoken about it. They're adamant as a footy club that it has got nothing to do with the 0-3 scoreline, and I'll just give our listeners a listen in on what he did say today about it.
The trip's also not the reason why we are at 0-3 at the minute. We've had some good patches throughout the first three games of this year, and we've had some not so good performances in quarters throughout this year. And as a playing group, we just need to get our consistency up over a four quarter period. So the trip has nothing to do with our on-performance, and we were not using it as any type of excuse as such. I want to assure our members and fans, most importantly, that this group is fully united as a playing group and fully focused on turning our season around.
So it's Danny Daly today. He did go into further detail. There was no issues from a club perspective. He maintains that he and others at the club have asked the right questions of the right people, and they're not at all referring to any aspect of it. And for those catching up with the story, group of players over in the US, communications within a WhatsApp group were seen and then distributed amongst partners of the players in question. It has caused problems. There's been relationship deteriorations, and there's also been teammates having a few fractious moments. But all you can do is take the club at its word, Kate. There's a couple of elements to it that do relate to footy. I mean, we're not talking about this, I don't think, if it's a 3-0 scoreline as opposed to a 0-3.
First thing I was going to say, if they're in the Fremantle Dockers position, the Fremantle Dockers probably had an off-season trip too where some things weren't probably done that were morally correct. But we're not talking about that one because they're 3-0 compared to 0-3. The thing that sort of, I guess, from a little bit of a female perspective to bring that, I just think my concern is these guys, Izzy, you get about 6 weeks off if you go all the way to the grand final. Is that correct?
No, I think it's close to 2 months now. But yeah, 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks, right. So, and up in Brisbane, every second week, essentially, you're playing away. So you're away from home, you're away from your family. My concern is, and I know how, well, I don't know for the AFL players. I know personally how mentally tough being in that environment was as an AFLW player. That was only for 10 weeks of the year. So I can't even imagine what the boys go through with the scrutiny, the constant level of attention that they get, everything that goes with the game, the ups and downs of selection, so on, so on. I know they need to let their hair down, and I completely understand that. My concern, though, is you've got, say, 6 to 8 weeks, two or three of them have been spent with the boys that they've spent the entire year with. Lots of these guys have wives, have partners, have kids. From my perspective, it would be, okay, let's have a week away, but I actually would like to spend time with my partner and my family, who I never get to see, and my poor wife or partner that spends every weekend at home with the kids. I'd actually like to take some time to spend some time with those people, not go overseas for 2 and 3 weeks and do some of the things that they've done. That's my opinion. I personally, as I said before, don't think we'd be having this conversation if they were 3-0. And I'm not questioning the fact that they had an overseas trip, that things got off the chain. But I just think from that perspective, it would be really nice if a lot of these stories are, wow, how beautiful. They went overseas and spent some time here and there and weren't on the piss for 3 weeks with their mates playing up on their wives and partners.
I'm just going to jump in here, Kate, and I can understand what you're saying, but I really don't like a couple of the things you said there.
Yeah.
That it doesn't matter how many good things an AFL footballer does. It does not matter how much time they spend with their wife, with their kids, with their family. It doesn't matter how many autographs they sign. It doesn't matter how many charities they go to. It does not matter what they do. As soon as someone gets an inkling of a story, whether there's 100% truth to it, 5% truth to it, and things are going poor at a football club, things get thrown out. And then they become public commentary. So, yeah, to be honest, I don't love what you've been saying there. Like, I think people go away, people go on trips. Everyone in society goes away on trips with their mates that they work with they do with things with. So, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what's happened on their trip. I was photographed with them.
In a cowboy hat.
In a cowboy hat in Nashville. Supposedly I was in Vegas. I don't know. That's.
I don't think any of them were even in Vegas, were they? That's
well,
just been
I have absolutely no idea. But I don't know. It just doesn't sit well with me. Like, you talk about doing the positive things. If we want that, how about we promote the positive things? Because there are so many positive stories in AFL football. Anyway, that's just
no, that's so fair.
And one of those positive stories is Adam Muzzo getting his first win as a coach yesterday, a Richmond coach against the Sydney Swans, and they did it the tough way. They had to hold on against a very good team, but it took him 4 goes to us. The previous Richmond coach for the first time took 10 in Damien Hardwick way back in 2010. He lost his first 9, but Adam Muzzo, fourth game.
I had the privilege of being here yesterday, Dame, on the Triple M box to see that one, and congratulations to Adam Muzzo. You take over from a golden era. It's a tough role to come into. The expectation at Richmond is they just keep winning. They've now got a very different looking list. They had no Dustin Martin. They had no Dylan Grimes yesterday. And I think you hire a new coach, Izzy and Kate, and you're looking to see, are the players buying in? I think you get a big tick walking away yesterday. There was great competitive effort. They got really vulnerable young back line. Nick Loston's played one of the best defensive games I've ever seen. So they will go up and down Richmond for mine, but I think Adam Muzzo looks like someone who's got the group got buying in.
Bad first game of the season, bad third game of the season, but did push Carlton to a kick equally in their second game.
With two on the bench as well. They pushed them all the way to that, and they had a lot of troops missing that were key position players as well. So personally, I didn't think Richmond were going to be any good this year, and I think they've shown a lot more than some of the teams that we were potentially putting a little bit higher than them.
Yep, and Nick Flossen, you mentioned us, one of the older players who stood up yesterday. So too did Liam Baker, out of contract at the end of the year, and Adam Muzzo, in his first year as coach, is desperate to have him stay.
He'll make his decision, and the club will work with him with that, and we'll give him the world if he wants to stay at our footy club. But if he decides to go, well, then that's the nature of the game. But while he's here, we just want him to play free and just enjoy his footy and make that decision when the time comes. So that's my only thing I've been talking to him about, is I just want his effort to be high and just enjoy walking in the footy club.
He's a Ripper Lamb Baker, and he was great again yesterday. Izzy, for the Richmond fans that are tuning into Triple M, building up to this big game here at Easter Monday, Hawthorn and Geelong, Tom Hawkins' 350th game, where do you see that group at? Are they a contender this year, or have they got a bit of work to do?
Yeah, I've been saying, since the pre-season, that I really think Geelong, if they can have their best 15 players out there, as good as anyone in the competition. Firstly, I'd like to say congratulations to Adam Muzzo. He's been a huge influence on my career, and I was absolutely pumped to see him get a win yesterday. So, well done, Uzz. But, yeah, I'm really excited to see what Geelong can deliver this year. I think they've got certain pieces in the puzzle that fit exactly what you need to win a premiership. It's going to be difficult, because it always is, and they're going to need luck with injuries. They've already lost Patrick Dangerfield this year, and he'll be back in 2 weeks. But they've certainly got enough pieces of the puzzle to do some damage.
Significant afternoon for a number of reasons, including this afternoon marks the third annual Dare to Hope match, with this year's key message being that pancreatic cancer isn't as rare as you think. Only 3 of 10 patients survive the first year following diagnosis with pancreatic cancer. Unlike other cancers, there is no early detection test. And a legend of this space is Cherie Deer. She tragically lost her husband, Paul, the great Norm Smith medal winner from 1991, too early. And it's a cause that Cherie has championed like no one else. Cherie, we really appreciate you joining us on what is a special afternoon for your family and for the wider community dealing with pancreatic cancer.
Thanks for having me.
You are irrepressible, Cherie, and when you put your mind to something, you make a huge difference. Tell us about why you needed to get this message out, and tell us a bit more about how big an issue pancreatic cancer is.
Well, after Paul died, 4 months after that, my dad also died of pancreatic cancer. And so I went from a situation, 2 years previously, where I hadn't even really heard of pancreatic cancer. The only person that I sort of knew that had had it was Patrick Swayze. And then all of a sudden I had a really close girlfriend whose sister was diagnosed with it in her 50s. She only survived 9 weeks. As she died, Paul's diagnosis was unfolding. And then we had, 22 months and 3 weeks with Paul. And then 4 months after that, my dad died. So I was shocked, and I thought, how can it be that this supposedly, rare cancer has affected one of my best friends and taken, the two most important men besides my own kids, taken from me. And so I sat down at the computer and I started looking at statistics and discovered, you know, that it was actually killing more people every year than breast cancer, prostate cancer, melanoma, road trauma, MND, all these things that we're really familiar with, both from an awareness point of view and also fundraising. So I really got angry, and that's sort of, I guess, you know, channeling that sense of injustice. And it wasn't just us, there's heaps of people being affected every year, and it just seems to be getting brushed under the carpet.
Including Geelong legend Mickey Turner, who has just joined us, 245 games, a legend of the Geelong Football Club. And just jump in there and say hi to Mick, who's dealing with his own battle with pancreatic cancer. Mick, you look fantastic and going great. You had some tough news early. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a bit of an update. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, Luke. No, I'm feeling pretty good. This time last year, I wasn't that flash. I got diagnosed in about February, and I was a bit lucky because I had an early indication of pancreatic cancer because I got jaundice when you turn yellow because my gallbladder wouldn't drain through the tumour in my pancreas. So I did it in a different spot to Paul, which was unfortunate for him, but probably lucky for me. What they did was they put a stent in to drain all the juices through my tumour in the pancreas, and then you have to go through a big operation called the Whipple procedure. So that's a 9-hour op, and they put you on the table, take all your organs out. They took out my tumour in the pancreas, my gallbladder, the top of my intestine, my duodenum, some other membrane and some veins. And then what they do, believe it or not, is plumb you back the other way, cut a hole in your stomach, poke your pancreas in, sew it up so you don't become diabetic. And then you're in the ICU for about a week. So that was an experience. And then you do all the pathology and testing, which goes on forever. It's still going now. And then I had chemotherapy for 7 months, which was probably the most challenging thing I've ever done. It was worse than the operation. So chemo for me, because pancreatic cancer is such a bad one, I was on chemo for 3 days out of the 2 weeks. And after the first 4 doses, I dropped from 80 kilos to 63, so 17 kilos, and had a bit of a rest, and then went back and completed the last 8. So the theory on it is that you have the operation to get the tumour out, and the chemotherapy, for those who don't know, is supposed to and does its best job of getting the cancer out of your bloodstream. So got through all that, and now I'm I feel as good as I've ever felt. I feel normal. I'm 69 coming up 70, so it's normal as you can for that. But look, I'm back surfing and doing everything I want to do and living a normal life. And I don't know what Cherie said before, but when you're diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, only 3 people survive for 12 months. So I've got through that, but the percentages are still really low. To survive 5 years, it's 10%. Breast cancer survival rate's 94%. Prostate's, I think, is 97%. And they get a lot of publicity, but it's a bit of a hidden killer, obviously, prostate cancer, because of the pancreatic cancer, because of the fact that people don't hear of it too often, because not many survive. So I'm just helping Cherie get the word out there and hopefully with some funding get a better blood test or something that they can diagnose it a little bit earlier.
Cherie, the creation of the awareness around it, obviously you're now key to that, and the phrasing even, the dare to hope. Was that your idea, or was it people around you? And it does obviously give hope, doesn't it, to the people who have experienced, you know, what you and Michael have unfortunately experienced?
It actually came from an interview that I did, because even though Paul was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, Mick clearly wasn't, and Paul was told he was inoperable and incurable, the tumour actually developed in a way that it cut off a vein in his stomach, and it all ended up exploding, and he was bleeding to death. And so the only way to save his life was to actually give him an operation. And so Paul had the same sort of operation that Mick's talking about, but at the other end of the pancreas. And not to make it a competition, Mick, but Paul walked out of the hospital 5 days later. And he was in intensive care so Paul was really lucky to have survived that. And we were interviewed afterwards, and in that interview I said, we didn't dare to hope. And then it sort of took off from there. And the name Dear is actually in Dare, if you think about that. So there's a whole lot of nice synergies. And the thing that I'm really proud of as well is, you know, Paul's attitude the whole time throughout. He was given a death sentence, you know, but he never let that affect the way he was around us. It wasn't a depressing thing. And, you know, I would say paradoxically, you know, that time after his diagnosis, they were some of our happiest times together, because all of a sudden life just becomes a hell of a lot meaningful when the sands are actually ticking through the sand glass in front of you. So we just cherished everything, and, you know, he made things easier for us, I guess. You know, his family, watching his suffering, he was very brave and he just continued to hope. I was still speaking to some scientists in Sydney 2 days before Paul died, you know, hoping that we could get him up there, because he was willing to try anything. And that's the thing with this cancer. You know, people say, oh, if you have a positive attitude and, you know, all of that. Well, no one could have fought harder or had a more positive attitude than what Paul did. It's not enough with this beast of a disease. You know, you can't just outwit it with your strength and your dedication. It's a very nasty cancer, and we need, you know, a whole lot more attention and funding to change the outcomes with it.
And Cherie, tell us about the Birth of the Dare to Hope match. Obviously, it's something that happens now on the year. We've got this clash here today with the Cats and the Hawks. And what does getting to the football community then obviously allow? Paul played such a huge part. Football was such a huge part of his life. And now to be able to use that as a platform to help to promote pancreatic cancer for what it needs to be.
Well, it's really special, isn't it? Because we all know, you know, how passionate the football community is. We all know how many people, you know, in Australia love footy and listen to, you know, information that's coming out of games and you know, clubs and things like that. So we're, you know, it's sad what happened to Paul. But the fact that he played for Hawthorn and that they actually stepped up and lived up to, you know, the culture of the family club. And the first Dare to Hope match was sort of, it came about very quickly in July 2022. And Paul came in and addressed the players not long before that. But sadly, he died 8 days before the match actually took place. So the first match, you know, was really more about the mourning and acknowledging that he had gone. We hadn't even had his funeral at that point in time. So it was just a very special opportunity to acknowledge what a great person he was.
And Cherie, how beautiful that Kausha, your son, is now on the Hawthorn list, and we will all smile and Paul will be smiling down from above when Kausha makes his debut. He's going beautifully, by the way, in the VFL, which is great to chat. We could chat about this for many hours, as you know. Mm. We're out of time. But just very quickly, Mick, before we go, you've got to explain your friendship with Brian Taylor.
Yes.
none of us understand, because he's such a weird, unique human being.
And he loves you.
The only person he declares his love for is
the footy factory. We did start that one. It was a bit good publicity. Oh, look, no, Brian, I got to know Brian a little bit towards the end of his footy career. I was going and he was coming at that time, you know. And we had a really good footy trip once to Toronto. Hawthorn were there, Geelong were there when they had the Fox
Izzy likes
game.
Footy trips.
Settle down, Purple. Well,
these were the days before mobile phones, so they were even better then. So we had Hawthorn, Geelong and Collingwood. We're all staying at the same hotel. So I got to know him there, and then he moved down the lawn, and believe it or not, as big as he is, he said to me, "Now, I know you can surf. I want you to teach me how to surf." And I said, "Brian, I can't teach you how to surf. You're too big." It was when stand-up paddleboards just first came in, and we got the biggest one we could possibly get. And look, I'll give it to him. He was very diligent. And I just can't believe Channel 7 or someone hasn't done a story and come down and actually film him, because he can ride a stand-up paddleboard. I watched him on the point the other day at Lawn. It was about 4 to 5 foot, which is quite big, and he was dominating. So it's amazing, isn't it? But we're just good mates, because we're both different cats. There's no doubt about that, and that's how it sort of eventuated.
Dare to Hope is the afternoon today. Cherie Deer and Mickey Turner, thanks for coming in and explaining what is a great cause. Great to catch up with you both. A break now on Triple M. We're going to come back with Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy, Damien Barrett, building up the Hawthorn and Geelong on Easter Monday. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
Now you can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's,
Triple M rocks footy.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
It was great to catch up with Mick Turner Cherie Deer. The Dare to Hope game is a great cause, and we're right behind. And interestingly, Mick Turner, as he left, he turned to Damien Barrett and said, Didn't you and I have a blue at some stage? Is there anyone in the football community that you have not come to some sort of disagreement with, Damo? And he wanted to go on with it too.
Yeah, he would, but then he couldn't remember what it was, and nor could I. And I could recall it once he said it. It was a phone call I do recall receiving. I still think it might have even been the old landline days. I think I might even go back to the Herald Sun days to ask with me, but I couldn't think of the specifics. But apart from actually one bloke very close to you, I patch up all my problems in footy. There's only one I haven't patched up and don't want to patch up, and it involves your coach. But every other one, we're good again.
It's a full-time job doing the patching, Damo. Mickey Turner just... we've had a fight, haven't we? He just wanted to work out whether
he did say that, yeah.
On speaking terms.
But he couldn't remember what it was, and I think that's a good thing too.
And Isaac Smith has left the box. He said, I am capable of speaking to anyone. It's about me today. The Isaac Smith Cup. Give me a microphone. Any player that I want will speak to me. Let's get down to Isaac Smith at ground level.
Yeah, we're at Isaac Smith, Triple MCG here. So, no, we've got Mark Blitzer. He's one of the best blokes in AFL footy. Mate, massive game. Always the biggest one for the Geelong Cats each year other than finals. Talk us through it a little bit.
Mate, we love it here. As you know, playing on both sides. Yeah, it's just great. It's always a good time of year. Easter, everyone's really excited. They've obviously celebrated the Easter and then they come in for a big game. So, yeah, another huge one.
What people don't know about you is every game you save this beautiful wine for a win. What wine did you bring today?
A little Cabernet Bleasdale. So we'll see how that goes after the hopefully a win. We'll see how it goes.
Where's that from?
That is from South Australia.
Yeah, right. I'll throw you upstairs to the boys.
We've got to go to the wine question and jump straight in on there. Blitz, where the passion for wine? If you had one bottle to for the last meal of your life, where are you going?
We've got some beautiful wines in Geelong, by far winery. Nick Farr is the winemaker there from Bannockburn, so get a hold of one of his reserve Pinots.
Sounds like Blitz has got a little contra arrangement going on there. Well played.
Pay per mention on that one. Blitz, we've heard obviously it's Tomahawk's big 350th. We've heard a lot about him this week, as we should, because he's a true champion of the game. But have you got anything a little bit off-centre for us? We've heard what a good bloke he is, and we've heard all about that. Is there anything that you can do to throw him under the bus a little bit before his 350th?
Oh, I've got plenty, mate, but nothing to go into the public. But
it's Triple M, it's all good.
Oh, no, it's really exciting. As a player, I've been very fortunate enough to play in some huge milestone games, as Izzy would have done too. So, none bigger than what Hawks about to do. So we're really excited. It's pretty fitting that he's had such a good rivalry with the Hawks too to have it here. So very excited.
Hey, Mark, a lot of debate after the 2022 grand final as to who really was the Norm Smith medalist. And Paddy Dangerfield has launched this retrospective campaign to have a reflection upon it. In your eyes, given you're out there on the ground for the game, was it the bloke next to you or was it Paddy?
We love Pat, but Izzy had that wrapped up at halftime.
Nice, Blitz.
The game was over at halftime, boys. I keep telling you this.
Hey, Blitz, we love that you can go and play fullback today and be an All-Australian. You can play Ruck Rover on one of the best midfielders, or you can take the centre bounce. If you had your way and you could play a full season, is there a role you prefer?
I'm probably really enjoying what I've been doing the last couple of seasons, and that's been around the ball, helping out the ruck and being around as a midfielder. So let's keep that going today.
And starting to really put it together, obviously, this season. Last season, a little bit of an anomaly, in my opinion, from the talent that you guys have on your list. And we're seeing it this year, obviously, this afternoon against the Hawks. Some really big games coming up as well. And what do you think's the difference, sort of, obviously, between this year and last, with that clicking and really starting to look like that team of 2022 again?
Yeah, it's pretty early on in the season, but we're just really excited with what we've done so far around the ball. And some of the young boys, you see Jai Clark warming up here in the forward pocket. He's been amazing while we've had a few midfielders out injured this year. So, we've all tried to just have a good pre-season, stay injury-free, stay healthy and try and perform well. And last week was a great game against Adelaide. Stewie led from the front and hopefully we have a good team performance again.
I thought he was going to say get rid of some dead wood, but
No.
Hey, Mark, it's a fascinating case study what the Geelong Footy Club has done, how it's constantly tried to win a premiership every single year while other teams around them try and rebuild over 5, 6, 7 years. What have you appreciated most out of that aspect of it since you started?
Yeah, it's something I'm definitely appreciating more and more as I get older in my career. Early days, you sort of take it for granted, but to be able to have the belief to compete every year, it motivates you. It helps you stay in the game, try and improve. And I just turned 33, and I'm as motivated as ever to try and play well and help the team perform. And Yeah, it's good management, it's good coaching, and it's some great players in Hawk and Joel and Isaac here, so what they've done previous for the club. So, yeah, it's great.
The Paris Olympics not far away. Blitz, there was a time in your life where maybe you would have been heading in that direction as an elite steeplechase runner, from what we understand. Do you think there's more athletes out there that haven't maybe played footy that could follow your path? Do you think there's a bit of a gold mine to be found?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, obviously coming through the category B, I'm a big advocate for it, and I'm probably one that proves you don't need to be able to kick the footy that well to have an influence on the game. So
he's a better kick on his opposite voice.
Yeah, I'll put some on my left today.
And just got to get a word on Isaac Smith sitting next to you. How have you found his entry into the media space? He's creating a bit of a storm, your old mate.
He was born for it. I haven't heard too much of him, but I assume it was all me with a bit of golf thrown in.
That is the perfect summation. Mark Blitzarves, thanks for joining us on Triple M. Good luck this afternoon.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
How good to catch up with Mark Blitzarves. I reckon we've got Izzy rattled today, Kate. I just think he's slightly off his game. We might have got under his skin a little bit. How did he go down there?
No, he was good. I just want to see him, if the skies start to open, that's when I want to see him head down to the boundary and start doing some boundary reporting, because that's what really makes or breaks you in this occupation. When you're sitting on the boundary line doing your due diligence and then the rain starts coming in and you have to sit there through it. But unfortunately, he'll be up in the back row, and poor old Nat Yanides will be down there.
I just saw that before. Yeah.
It's the Isaac Smith Cup here on Easter Monday, Hawthorn versus Geelong. And as he said, they love me at Hawthorn, they love me at Geelong. Give me the microphone, I can get access to anyone. He's got one of his old teammates with him from the Hawks, Chankwath Jeff. Let's get down to Izzy.
We've got CJ here, massive game, mate, for Hawthorn and Geelong, the Dare to Hope. It's now in its second or third year.
Yeah, second, third year. It's such a beautiful, you know, the two teams coming together and just supporting, you know, what's been happening in terms of this cancer and stuff like that and how bad it is. But it's just so nice to see so many people come together and you know, and just try to build a big cause and a nice, yeah, and I think it's really, really pleasing to see it.
You've been flying all over the world, Qatar. Where else did you go?
Yeah, no, it was Qatar. I had a nice trip there. Just a bit of injury prevention stuff there. That was just to get my body right and learn a lot of things about my body. And I think it's, the big picture is just to do stuff to help it, you know, get better and strengthen it, you know, throughout my whole career. And I've learned so much, you know, from guys around the world coming together and a really nice physio there, real, that came up with me, Bart came up with me as well, and just to learn so much about my body and get better was just, yeah, unbelievable.
And just for our listeners, Bart is the physio. He's the guy that keeps all the energy around the club. He's got the number one table and he's the biggest gossip in the AFL. So we'll throw it upstairs, mate. They've got a few questions for you.
Yeah, sure.
And CJ, just on your, obviously, your hamstring injury that you're going through at the moment with that intervention that you got, how are you tracking? When are we expecting to see you back out there? Because we're really missing your run and dash off half back, like I'm sure your teammates are as well.
Yeah, I'm very excited. We've had a really nice progress over the last 3 to 4 weeks. And I'm looking around two weeks from now, and I'm very excited to get back. I mean, hope to see the boys go well today, but I really can't wait to, you know, play with the boys. And obviously Guinea just walked past here and I'm looking excited to, you know, kicking some goals to him and sharing some goals and stuff like that. But mate, we're just going to start, you know, building a lot of confidence at the moment. Yeah, it's obviously, you know, footy is such a, you know, high mental game. It's like 80% is old mental, and it's I think we'll just get a lot of growth and a lot of learning from games you play now, and I'm looking forward to actually gelling together over the next couple of weeks.
You're listening to Chankwath Jeeath on Triple M. CJ, good enough to join us downstairs with Isaac Smith. Love the way that you play and attack the footy and just take the game on. Tell me Sam Mitchell, when you come back, has just said you do what you do well, and he's not going to try and drag you back into boring like everyone else.
I mean, it's always nice to have different, you know, game styles and stuff like that. So we're just learning how to play in different ways. But, you know, I'm looking forward to getting back and using my run a lot. And there's no doubt that he's got faith in me to, you know, use my strength and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to getting back. You know, wing's such a nice spot for me to go forward and get back as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
How have you dealt psychologically with what's happened to you body-wise in the past 2 years? Tracking really, really nicely as part of a young team attempting to find its way back up the ladder. Only the 8 games last year for other injury-related problems, a calf and an Achilles, and now the hamstring. How are you dealing with all of that?
Oh, man, it's been frustrating. It's because it's always just like a little dangling carrot on your head. You know, you play some nice games and then something will happen. It's just, But that's the beauty of footy. I mean, you just learn so much about who you are and how to deal with things. And I'm slowly, you know, it's like, as you said, I'm 45 games into it now, but, you know, I feel like I've learned so much over the last couple of years about how I can handle my body. And I'm, you know, I'm looking forward to getting back and, you know, it's going to be really good for us. And, but it's, it, I mean, there's so much stuff happening around the world that I'm just really grateful and just being healthy and you know, having a healthy mind. And that's pretty much the main part. I mean, there's a lot of different stuff going on in the world, but I'm just happy to just be healthy and just be with my family and friends.
It's a great perspective, isn't it, when you think about footy problems compared to what's happening in the world. They tell me you were an outstanding 400-metre runner as a kid growing up, CJ. Can you give us some context? What was your PB over 400?
Oh, man, I can't tell the exact time, but it was sub-50.
sub 50, you don't mind. Yeah. Kathy Freeman won, I think, the Olympic Games.
52,
I think. Yeah, potentially. So there's some context for you.
But, I mean, I love athletics. I mean, it's just been always part of my life. I mean, running, playing sports, and, you know, I'm very gifted and very lucky to have these attributes.
CJ, Mitch came out through the week and basically said, Sam Mitchell, that he got the game plan wrong last week. He cooked it. He told him to kick the ball backwards about more times than we've ever seen in the league so far this year and over the last few seasons. Did you have a quiet word with him and say, look, mate, we've got runners here. Even though I'm not out there, let's use them and let's run and gun and go.
Yeah, as I said before, I mean, it's nice to have different weapons and different, you know, game styles and stuff like that. But we just, I mean, we continue to explore different ways to win. And obviously, the switching and stuff like that was an ideal as a fast running half back. You know, it gets very agitating watching that. But no, we'll get it right. I mean, we're still exploring, and I'm looking forward to just continue learning under Sam Mitchell different ways. So I'm very happy to be here.
And CJ, what have you made of your old mate Isaac Smith's meteoric rise in the media? He's taken it by storm, hasn't he? Is he going all right?
He's killing it.
Yeah. Mate, I'll tell you what. I don't know if you can hear this over the airwaves, but they are shouting my name. I haven't heard CJ's once.
The humility is right at the top of the tree. Chankwath Jiyath, we love watching you play. Can't wait to see you back out there in a handful of weeks. Thanks for joining us on Triple M.
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks.
Now you can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's,
Triple M rocks footy.